Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Interim Results Presentation. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time you may submit your questions using the Q&A panel on the bottom right of your screen. Alternatively, if you wish to queue for a question over the telephone, you'll need to press zero followed by one on your telephone keypad. Please also note this conference is being recorded today, Friday, the 30th of January, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Paul Flynn, Managing Director, Kevin Ball, CFO, and Jamie Frankham, EGM Operations. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for taking the time to listen in to our half-year results for Whitehaven Coal for our financial year 15. We certainly think that this half-year has been another good period for us in terms of delivering on the targets we've set for ourselves. So we will take this time, and you notice we are using a slightly changed format in having a webcast as well as the audio. We will speak to the presentation that we've released this morning, but also, of course, there's our ASX announcement that's gone out at the same time. But happy to take questions at the end of the period on either document, obviously. So we'll move straight into to our first half achievements. I should be scrolling up on the screens now, so pass the agenda into our first half achievements. We've had a very good period in terms of our safety performance. So you'll all recall that for our financial year 14, we brought a significant reduction into our TRIFR rate in financial year 14, and it's great to see that that momentum has continued into 15, and certainly all across all our businesses we've seen a continued reduction of our TRIFR, and that's very pleasing, obviously, just for ourselves as management and the board, that our efforts in this regard are being rewarded, but obviously very, very pleasing for our staff, obviously, who are on the front line and see that the programs we're implementing are gaining further traction, and the results are correspondingly improving. Our sales production, as you know, with our quarterly report that had gone out with production, the production has gone very well for this period. Obviously, we had the plan change out for Narrabri that we all knew was coming, but both ROM production, considering that, and also sales have been very good, and a number of records have been set during that time. We'll go into that a little bit later on. A major milestone, of course, during this period was during December, first railings out of Maules Creek. And we'll talk a little bit about that in more detail, but clearly that's a transformational event for us as a company. 3 months ahead of schedule is, you know, a sterling achievement by all involved in the project. So that is a significant milestone, and not only have we been railing coal, but obviously subsequent to year end we've been selling it as well, which has been very pleasing. The project itself about 87% complete as at 31st of December, so we're a little bit better than that now, but I'll go through the details of that a little bit more fully in the presentation. The longwall changeout at Narrabri again went very well, very pleased with that, a little bit ahead of schedule and budget, which was nice to see, and ramp up has been going well since that time. Obviously, costs have been a focus for us all in the industry, and we've obviously reported some significant reductions in our costs in previous halves, and certainly this half is no different in that regard. We've certainly again brought momentum into this new year and continued our downward pressure on costs, and we've been able to maintain our cash margins even with, you know, a further softening coal price environment, which has been seen us stand in good stead to continue to fund our operations in a sustainable way. As I said, safety performance for us has been very, very pleasing. Our program of the Safe Haven Rules has gone very, very well. We've talked about how we've complemented that with both our leadership program and as we've rolled that also out to the contractors who work for us. That's been a significant achievement, and complemented very much by the performance at Maules Creek, which has certainly been in excess of a million man hours without an LTI, which has been an outstanding achievement by any measure. We thought we'd throw in a few more slides just following the safety, just to go to the International Energy Agency's midterm market report. And I know many of you have the access to this information as well and do spend some time analysing it, but it's always reassuring just to look at what, you know, the IEA is saying about global demand for both thermal and metallurgical product. Certainly they're projecting some significant increases over a relatively short horizon, I have to say, for thermal coal. If we look at the numbers there, at 6.8 billion tonnes in 2012 through to 8 billion tonnes in 2019, that's a significant improvement. The seaborne trade is saying 8.95. We see that trade probably between about 8.30 to 8.40 now, given that that number is back at 12, and do see some balance entering the market in the next 12 months in terms of seaborne supply and demand. So that is good to see. Met coal we see is actually probably a little bit more pleasing than that, I'd have to say, because the scale of the shutdowns that we've seen on the global market, probably a little bit more compelling, I would say, proportionally, even though in volume it's a much smaller market, but certainly in volume those shutdowns have been more significant as a proportion of the total supply compared to what's occurred in the thermal market. So again, we think this is very good for Australia. We think this is good for us as we increase the proportion of our coal that is sold into this market. And as you know, we have the natural benefit of being able to produce our high-vol PCI and our semi-soft products very cheaply, given that our cost of washing is very, very mild, and the yield losses that we sustain in producing those premium products, even at this point in the cycle, are our most profitable products by some significant margin. So that's very good for us. And during this period, you'll see the split in revenue achieved from our products is improved towards the met coal side of things for the half. For our financial highlights, our EBITDA before significance at $52 million. I think that's probably in line with people's expectations and a pretty solid result. As I say, the key to that is maintaining a solid cash margin for each tonne sold during the period. Prices obviously have tracked down, but we've tracked our cost profile down with that. Our operating cash flow at $54 million was a solid outcome. The average cost per tonne, $63, down from $71 from the previous corresponding period gives you a size or the magnitude of the cost reduction we've been able to achieve. We think those savings are continue to be on a sustainable basis, and we see further cost improvements into the second half as we carry that cost reduction focus on into the new calendar year. Net debt there at 887, and our gearing still relatively modest there at 22%, even with the amount of capital we've deployed at Maules Creek. Next slide, I'm at the first half profitability. Revenue is an interesting dynamic for us, and this gives you a very quick assessment as to the difficulties, I suppose, with coal prices being soft during this period. We produced somewhat in the order of about 800,000 tonnes more than the previous corresponding period, but with no real revenue benefit for it. The previous corresponding period, I will note, had some $20 million of coal purchases in there, including that $400 million number. So given that we haven't purchased coal during this period, the like-for-like comparison is probably more like 380 for the first half of FY14. And so that again does evidence extra tonnes coming out, but obviously with a softer price, we're achieving less at the revenue line for the work that's been done. I won't go into the details of that in any significant way. We'll save that for questions, I'm sure. If we flick over the page in terms of this the cost slide that we've used a number of reporting periods now, you can see where we've been in terms of coal sales on an equity basis for the period, 4.7 versus 3.9. As I say, 800,000 tonnes up on where we were in the previous period for a little total revenue effect. The average revenue at 73 versus 77, average costs at 63 versus 67 for the half two of FY14 and 71 obviously for the previous corresponding period. Our EBITDA margin on coal sales at 14% is pleasing. The unused take-or-pay, which you know we've been recording over time just to show you the burden that each sold tonne carries in terms of the long position we have in take-or-pay, obviously being utilised, and that burden is reducing as we continue to soak up the extra capacity. And our average cost, obviously excluding that impost, is $62 for this period. I think those are pretty good, solid cost outcomes for us as a business. As I say, they are sustainable, and we think we can certainly continue to pressure our cost base down in the next 6 months. Capital allocation, we've mapped out some numbers there for you just for our sustaining capex. You can see the mains development. We have put extra dollars into the mains development at Narrabri. Our development generally at Narrabri, as you know, has been very, very successful. The rates at which we've been achieving development drivage there has been fantastic, and the costs have been coming down. We have used that to get ahead, further ahead in terms of our mains development, so we have put some more money into that in this period. But we've pulled that aside and given you some numbers in terms of sustaining capex for that six-month period there at $1 for our open cuts and $1 for Narrabri. Maules Creek, as you know, given that we're at 87%, you would have expected us to devote some more capital to that during this period, which we have done. $171 million, that's certainly been a fair investment in getting the project as advanced as it is. But what we've done is obviously drawn forward for the benefit of our shareholders the fact that we are able to draw forward the revenue that we receive from coal sales, even though these are, you know, in effect pre-commissioning tons that we are selling at the moment. But that's a very good outcome. We did opportunistically pick up a couple of pieces of land during the 6 months as well, for the sake of just tidying up our land acquisitions which are around the business. Balance sheet, not a lot to say here. I have to say, you've got the expected increase in the facility. You've got cash on hand, as we mentioned before. We've got our debt, our net debt there at 887, as we mentioned before. And we split out for everyone the ECA, because we always get questions about the ECA and finance lease component of the total interest-bearing liabilities that we have. So there it is for you. Gearing ratio at 22%. Undrawn facilities there at 200, well and truly enough for us to complete the balance of our portion of Maules Creek to bring the project to completion. Now, in terms of financing, 6 months ago, when we talked through the year-end results, we did highlight to everybody that we're on a pathway here to find a more sustainable funding platform for the business, given that the business is changing so quickly, and our financing needs are therefore changing very quickly as well. Maules Creek coming online and quicker than everyone thought obviously gives us a bump in the underlying creditworthiness of the business, and given that the cash margin of the business has done, you know, pretty good things during a difficult time in the market, that underlying credit position, as I say, has been improving. We've certainly been preparing ourselves to go to seek new sources of funding, and that certainly was a focus for us in terms of last year and looking at the US market in particular. Now, that focus is still there, but as you all would have seen, and you're informed viewers of these markets yourselves, that that the markets in the US have been going through some interesting times, and we think for ourselves we've created enough flexibility in our facility there with a maturity at December 16 that we don't think that dipping our toes into a market that's going through the ripples that we saw late last year would be advisable, given that we have time on our hands, given that our creditworthiness is improving every day as Maules continues to come forward and ramp up. We'll pursue that through the next 6 months to a conclusion. We are certainly, we think we'll take advantage of a lower interest rate environment, which I think is very good for us. But our real driver here is certainly tenor. We'd like to get longer tenor than the domestic facility that we have today allows us, and a more flexible covenant package, which is reflective of the maturing nature of the underlying business. So certainly within this next 6 months, we'll be buttoning this down in a more in a longer term position that's more reflective of the way in which the business has improved. Over the page on coal sales, I won't go through this too much, given that we've put these numbers out already in our quarterly. Other than to say, of course, we've hit a number of targets during the course of the year. It's been very, very pleasing that we are hitting records consistently with our business as we continue to grow. I think the pleasing thing for ourselves, basically on a sales perspective, is that we have been able to manage a sales profile despite the fact that we had, you know, a significant ROM production shortfall, if you like, as a result of our planned outage at Narrabri. So that's been very good. We're able to build stocks before the changeout and maintain a sales profile whilst the changeout was in progress. So that has been a very good result for us. And as I say, I won't go too much further on those, given that you've all had those numbers for some time. Maules, we provided a breakdown for you here just in terms of the status of the major packages at Maules Creek and the progress of completion on each of those major works. As you know, obviously, with the railings starting on the 9th of December, we've obviously very, very close to completion of that particular component of the work. And essentially, the balance of work required here now is the erection of the CHPP and the related infrastructure that goes with that. That being our stacking system, as you'll see in some of those later pictures, is actually up and running, commissioned. But the reclaimer system won't be online until later in this financial year. So certainly in the next month, they'll be starting to be shipped to us, and then assembly on site will occur and commissioning, you know, towards the end of the financial year. But we are building stockpiles on our system. We are using temporary manual loading into the hopper system to load trains. So you'll all know that we were direct charging trains straight from the ROM hill, for those who've been to Maules Creek and see how it works. But now we can actually build stocks and load off our stockpiles, which gives us much greater flexibility on site now. Given that we're getting closer to the end of our journey with Maules, and the project has been running very, very successfully, we all knew 767 was a very, very competitive number in any event, and our target has been to bring it under budget and ahead of schedule. Certainly the ahead of schedule piece, I think we're evidencing that we're doing that, but we thought it was time to probably put a marker down in terms of what we thought we'd save in the 767. So our estimate today is in the order of about $25 million in terms of that contingency that we'll think we'll keep at the end of the project. There are other things that we're looking at in terms of how we might phase our capex. So as we work out what's the best layout for us operationally, not just on a piece of paper in terms of the graphic design of what the mine look like, we are looking at optimising the footprint on the site in terms of where we might place certain features of our infrastructure, such as maintenance sheds, barb houses and offices and so on. So we probably will look at optimising that over the next 12 months in terms of where we put the permanent structures on the ground. And so that will probably defer some capex as well. But at the end of the day, we're saying about $25 million is our expectation in terms of contingency saved. A few pictures as we move over. As you know, railings have started. There's a couple of nice slides there. That's very pleasing to see. We've got about, I think we said 33 and then closer to 40 trains have now left the site now, which is great news. Across there you can see we're coaling at a rate of knots there already, both the two primary high-quality seams that we've been mining very quickly, both the Braymont and the Yonavale, certainly lived up to expectations. And pleasingly, I think all the assumptions we've made about our gear and the performance of the gear, they've certainly been reinforced by our early operational experience with the equipment. So those things, despite being pre-commercial tons, the operational performance of this new gear is validating the assumptions that we made, which is good for us in terms of standing behind the guidance we've given around what we think thermal coal is going to produce and or cost, and also what the met coal, once the CHPP is up and running, will cost as well. Further slide, as I say, you can see the stacker there it actually doesn't have any coal under it, but certainly now it does have a lot of coal under it. So that's very pleasing. And the largest piece of work, if you like, from an earth-moving perspective in terms of cut three, there's obviously evidence of our train coming down through there. Narrabri, as you know, back up and running, which is fabulous. During the 6 months, we did complete our analysis of the opportunity for top coal caving, and certainly we've pointed to what we believe to be the superior option for us in terms of optimising Narrabri's performance, and that is extending the face to a 400-metre wide face, and we'll certainly conclude that work over the next few months. The benefits of doing that, we believe, certainly is an increase in annual productivity and total tonnes per year. We certainly see it as a much lower risk option for ourselves operationally, but also from a regulatory perspective in terms of approvals. And there's cost savings at the back of this also for us as well. As you said, the change-out went well, and we think in the next change-out we'll be able to shorten that out with some of the duplicate equipment that we put on order. That will give us, we think, probably a week's advantage in the next change-out, as we can pre-install a number of pieces of equipment ahead of actually the physical change-out itself being completed. The next slide is really just a graphic to give you a bit of background, as you know, where we did experience back in April, May of last year, a conniption in terms of the horizon control software on the longwall. And this is really just a graphic representation. Unfortunately, it's going from right to left rather than left to right as it might normally go, but you'll get the picture. You can see the picture here basically shows you the variations, if you like, in the horizon control on the right-hand side. Once we got to a point where with the support of the OEMs, we've got to the point where there were some communication issues electronically across the face, and there were also some software issues which have been resolved. You can now look at what's happened now with the resolution of those issues, where we're cutting, you know, very, very consistently across the face now, and you know, when we're operating in full automation mode. So we're not taking it out of out of automation and cutting the two ends of the longwall face. We're actually running the shear right across the face and cutting consistently and maintaining control of the horizon at all times, which is great. Vickery, as you know, we've been approved during the course of the last 6 months, which was a great step forward for this project. We are now in the thick of the busy work of refining the proposition that is Vickery ahead of, you know, some formal engagement around the creation of a joint venture. We certainly, as we said, like to see this done within the next 12 months, and that's certainly our target to be able to do that. But I have to say we've got an abundance of riches here with Vickery, because the more we dig into our Vickery project in terms of the finalisation of what it is we actually want to joint venture, we do find that there's actually a lot more to it and a lot more upside. So that's significant. But that body of work will continue over the next few months with a view, as I say, to a joint venture in 12 months' time. As the largest employer in the area, clearly our focus has been to make sure that we are completely engaged with the community, and our work with the community has gone very well. Obviously, Maules Creek has been, again, transformative in terms of our impact in the community there in which we operate. So the significance of our presence there, you can see just in terms of some of the numbers there, the wages that we pay into the region on an annual basis are quite extraordinary. The recruitment for Maules Creek has been ramping up substantially. The local people in the community have been the disproportionate beneficiaries of the training and education that we put into that new workforce. Obviously, we did bring some new skilled people into the region, but the requirement is that you must come and live in the region. There's no fly-in, fly-out for Maules Creek. That's not a sustainable position for us in our view. We did very early set ourselves a voluntary target of 10% of the Maules Creek workforce, given that it's a greenfield site, would be Indigenous, and certainly we're well and truly achieving that. I think our percentage is actually nearer 16% as we sit here today. A fantastic achievement, and I've got to say these new employees at our site are really, you know, a breath of fresh air in terms of you know, their enthusiasm, their drive, the way in which they've taken them to the training, and operationally their performance since they've been on the ground. So 10% was a nice target to set for ourselves, but we're well ahead of that, and I really probably just see that as a flaw and more as anything else. To the extent that more good people turn up and want to jump in and contribute, then we're more than happy to take them on if they're the right type of people for us. So that's been very, very positive. Our investment proposition, as you know, if you like, the development of Narrabri doubled our size in terms of output. Maules Creek is doing that again. Again, it was easy to talk about that before as an aspiration, but it is real now. That orange bar is actually coming out of the ground now. And so having started a little bit earlier than what we said that we were going to, in any event, that'll actually accelerate the size of that orange bar, and our 15 has actually got slightly bigger as a result. And then Vickery sits behind that, clearly as being another growth option for us then after. Our focus for 15, no surprise. I mean, we're obviously going to continue to drive our safety performance. We think it needs to be better, and we're certainly confident we can achieve more. Maules Creek, with its ramp-up phase now, we've got additional equipment coming on, in fact, next month, and that will continue to ramp up as we continue to produce more from the site. We've still got the balance of construction to go, as I said. The CHPP and the reclaiming system also, you know, need to obviously be bedded down. We're certainly looking to do that well within the next 6 months, and so we would say commissioning is more than likely 1st of July. If you want to talk about commercial production from the site, that's probably the new financial year, and that certainly will be coupled with our ability to deliver meaningful met coal and PCI tonnes into the market would be the signal for that for you that the infrastructure is there at a commercial stage at or around 30 June, I think is probably the easiest way to say. The build-up in staff will continue. I think we're around about the 170 mark now, again, a little bit in advance of what we've reported for December, but that will continue to advance, and we are finding that we are able to get quality people both out of the, as I say, the surrounding environment, but also where we need to bring experienced people who are going to come in and reside in the community. We'll continue that great work with the Aboriginal communities in the area. I think our production portfolio, we've obviously got to continue to drive performance across all of that. We've got a lot to do to bring home a very good and still big second half. Narrabri, obviously, there's plenty of options there for optimising. As I said, we're going to refine and bed down a few of those options. The 400 metre face, certainly within this next 6 months, we'll certainly do the necessary work to sign that off during this period. And importantly, implementing our longer term financing plan for the company, certainly by 30 June. I think there's no no doubt that that's something that's front of mind for a lot of our investors and potential investors, and certainly we're working very closely with our advisors and banks to make sure that that's concluded in a timely and orderly fashion. So thank you for your time. We'll open the floor up to questions.
And as a reminder to our telephone audience, if you do wish to ask a question over the phone, you need to press 0 followed by 1 and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question from the phone lines will come from Sarah Jane Karska from The Australian. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. I understand a lot of stuff you said about the medium to long-term outlook for the price of coal and demand, et cetera, but obviously in the short term, you know, we are seeing a bit of pain there in the price. Just wondering what your thoughts are on this year, like 2015, as far as the price goes, and whether you expect it to track higher or stay where it is, or do you expect it to come under further pressure this year?
Thanks, Sarah Jay. Look, I'm happy to answer this as briefly as I can right now. I mean, this is an investor call mostly, so I'm happy to take a call from you after this session, just so I can fill this out a little bit more. But I mean, basically, if I look at it today, we do see the thermal coal market continuing to be, you know, soft, as everybody's noted. But as I said before, we actually don't think it's far away from physical balance if we look at the global supply and demand. So that does point to not massive improvements in the short term, but measured improvements that we would say over the next 12 months. Met coal, we are actually a little bit more bullish on that. We do actually do see that tightening up a little quicker. And so I think that is positive for us. Of course, the currency being in the place that it is today means that our $8 equivalent price for coal, you know, is actually improving. And so whilst it's easy to talk about the dour nature of, you know, the US dollar coal price, with our currency probably, you know, belatedly reflecting where I think the underlying nature of, you know, the country's economy dictates that it should be, you know, we are seeing an improvement in our $8 coal price. And so that's actually very positive for us and the industry more generally.
Thank you.
Your next question from the phones will come from Paul Young from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. A few questions on CapEx and OpEx. Firstly, just on CapEx, I know you've stated that your capital investment was about $200 million for the half. You know, I look at your cash CapEx and your cash flow statement, it was about $275. Can you just explain the difference there and also guide us to what you expect the accounting CapEx and cash CapEx to be in the second half? And then on operating costs, Paul, I mean,
Paul, sorry, mate, you're a little bit muted. Can you speak up a little bit more? We've turned our volume up on this end as much as we can.
Yeah, sure, let me just try again there. Yep, can you hear me a bit better now?
Yep, thank you.
Okay, I'll just repeat that. Did you get that first question?
Yep. We got that.
Okay, right. Okay, great. Second question, just on, Paul, on the operating costs. Clearly a pretty good result, certainly at the mine sites. You haven't mentioned or reiterated, I guess, your unit cost guidance at Maules Creek and Narrabri, which I think was 62 to 64 for Maules and 58 to, I think, to 62 for, 59 to 62 for Narrabri. Can you just give us a indication of your view if that guidance still holds? Thanks.
Yeah, well, I'll deal with the back end of those questions first, and Kevin will jump into the CapEx piece. But, look, our guidance still holds on both those. Proportionately, obviously, Narrabri bears a bigger impact on the business given the tonnes that we expect to come out in this next 5 months. Our guidance remains the same in terms of the total tonnes for Narrabri, but I can tell you that we're well past the halfway point in terms of our budget this year. So with 5 months to go and no change out in sight, I think that's a pretty solid period that we'll churn through and deliver on those tonnes. The Maules Creek guidance that we've given before, like I say, certainly everything that we've seen with the equipment that we've got in the pit at the moment is validating all those efficiency assumptions, the fuel consumption assumptions and so on. So that's actually quite positive for us. So we're happy to stand behind those numbers. Given that we are in a pre-commercial phase, but like I say, we feel confident about it given the experience that we've seen to date. So that's reassuring. But if you look at where we've ended up in terms of $63, for the first 6 months, we think we can squeeze the lemon a little bit further. And overall, without attributing it to one side or another, overall we reckon there's probably $1 to $2 that we can squeeze in the second 6 months. We will see the benefit of fuel, obviously, as everybody would note. That we're a big consumer of ourselves, but then again, trains, say for instance, they're big consumers of fuel as well, as you'll note as well. So that will spill through the business as the benefit of that is realised, which is good. But we've got other, the very important transition that we've made in terms of using 30-ton axle load trains is now right across our business, and that itself will certainly deliver an improvement in terms of the cost per ton of coal down at the port. So we feel confident saying that in another dollar to $2 in the second 6 months would be a realistic target for ourselves, given that we've already won a hell of a lot of ground in terms of bringing our costs down already.
Yep. And to talk about the capital, on the cash flow statement, the cash flow turns out around $270 million in mine development, plant and equipment, whereas the capital allocation set out on slide 11 comes in about $201. And Paul, the difference in those is obviously slide 11 is accounting versus the cash flow and the cash flow statement, and those differences come around from the way in which we put on that statement on slide 11. There's just a number of differences between the deferred development costs at Narrabri, how they come in and out of the cash flow statement versus the balance sheet versus this capital allocation statement, a little bit of OBIA, and then there's some, as you would imagine, in the middle of the year we were going hell for leather at Maules Creek, and some of those creditors would have unwound in the second half as we paid them out as we came through. So really they are the three main gaps or the three main differences between those things.
Yep, thanks Kevin. And the second half, what do you expect for CapEx, both accounting and cash? CapEx, roughly?
Well, I think the accounting CapEx for Maules will be lower because we've still got those creditor balances, they'll unwind. I think the number that we've got left to go at Maules Creek, our share in total, is around $120 million, but that will be spent over 15, 16 sort of numbers, as Paul referred to begin with. So we look at that and say we're pretty comfortable with that number going forward. And the balance of the CapEx and the rest of the business is, as you would imagine, is being kept under tight control and minimal.
Yeah.
Yep. No, that's useful. I can do the calcs from there. Thanks, guys.
Your next question will come from the line of Paul McTaggart from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Look, just kind of a follow-up on CapEx. So you've got this new equipment that you've ordered, which will get you to 8.5 million tonne at Maules Creek. So the funding of that, is that just coming through in operating leases? Is that how that plant's being funded? So it's separate and distinct from Maules Creek.
Yeah, that's it, Paul. Yep, exactly the same.
Okay, thank you.
And your next question from the phone lines will come from Lynn Lawcock from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, gents. I just wanted to clarify a little bit more just the delta in the CapEx. You talked a little bit about deferred development costs. I understand that talking to Ian this morning, some of it's to do with gate road development. Is that, that's not being expensed through the P&L, it's just simply being put onto the balance sheet. What is that amount going forward? Because, there seems to be quite a bit more cash went out the door than we all thought. So I'm just wondering, what is the extra spend at Maules Creek that's not being captured in the CapEx in the slides and being captured in the OpEx? Thanks. And is that going to continue through life of mine?
Hold on. I don't think there's any... capex that's not coming through those forums. I mean, clearly the we have invested more in terms of the mains at Narrabri, but that was part of our plan that we'd do that. I mean, the main development is continues on, Glenn, as you know, until about 2019-2020, when the mains development's essentially concluded, and they are, as you know, life of mine assets. So we spend that money, we defer it and amortise it over the tonnes that that come out over the life of mine. Maules itself, as I mentioned just earlier, and as we're going through the slides, we think there's about 25. You can back solve your numbers into this. About 25, we think of the contingency we won't spend. In terms of the balance, if you put that aside for the moment, the balance, as Kevin said, is about $120 million our share that remains to be spent. We think that of that 120, there's about $20 million, as I alluded to earlier in my discussion, that we're not going to spend that money in the short term, given that, as we say, we are actually refining the footprint of what the mine looks like before we actually put permanent infrastructure down on site for those important things like maintenance sheds and office facilities and so on. And so once we actually run the mine a little bit harder, we'll refine exactly where we think we want to put that structure. And so what we are going to do is, for the next 12 months, say, for instance, we'll not have necessarily the sort of infrastructure you see at Narrabri for those sorts of things. It'll be more like Werris Creek, in terms of flavour for you. And so that will be staggered over a period. So that leaves you about 100 spent on the core project, our share.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Paul. That I understand. I guess I was just saying, in the mains development, it's not going through your cash cost guidance of low 60s for Narrabri. It's not in your slide of CapEx. So I'm just trying to work out, what is this additional cost or money out the door every year till 2020?
It is in the slide of CapEx on the second line there, Glenn. The if you remember, we had a longwall change in November. And so what you should think about with the gates is that it's pretty much in balance. And what we amortise and what we spend is about the same over any particular year. It just depends on the timing of when those longwall moves pop up.
Okay, so there's no... So the delta between the 200 and the 270 is nothing to do with Narrabri spend that we're not seeing?
No.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll have a chat to Ian because it was just something different to what we spoke about earlier this morning.
I understand.
Thanks.
All right.
Your next question will come from the line of Brendan Fitzpatrick. Please go ahead.
Thanks. It's a question on the realised price for the thermal coal product. Notice it's been improving on the last couple of quarters sequentially. Could we confirm whether there's improved quality of product coming through or whether there's some legacy contracts at a higher price which give us a better realised price against the spot price we see in the marketplace?
Brendan, well, look, there's a number of different variables there. I mean, there is a small element of our business, and I'll call it about 25%, maybe a little bit more, late 20s. There is the benefit of contracts which were signed 6 to 12 months ago that spill into this year, and those essentially for the premium products, firstly, the met coal, less so, but certainly the PCI, sold 12 months in advance, comes off a better price. Any tons sold into Korea are certainly agreed 12 months in advance, and they are fixed at a price, and they spill into this period, spill into any period. When that's good, when the price is going down, it's bad when the price is going up. So there's certainly that. Quality-wise, I don't think the quality of the coal that we've sold is markedly different from one period to another. Certainly, the proportion of revenue we've received for met coal versus thermal has improved. That's been certainly a focus for us because we know, as I said, given the low yield losses that we suffer, we're minded to produce every ton of PCI or semi-soft we can because it is quite profitable for us to do that as opposed to some of the other mines, say for instance the Hunter Valley, where their yield losses are say three times our size, and they're sort of retreating from that market because it's unprofitable for them given those yield losses. So that's probably the mix. In terms of where we go. For the second half, we see a consistent sort of result from where we are today. Again, the key to all of this is if we see improvements in coal prices, that spills nicely onto the bottom. We obviously want to make sure that the currency stays where it is. But we have been seeing generally, and more in the short term, or in the more recent months rather than the previous months earlier in the year, reasonable premiums for our product quality coal being achieved in our sales.
Okay, that makes sense. And just a follow-up question, Maules Creek, the railings and the shipping that's picking up so far, all the coal quality and specs there, nothing untoward, everything to expectations?
Well, better than expected, I'd say, Brendan, actually. So, certainly what we've seen in mine to date has been in very, very good quality. So To some degree, we've been muddying it up a little bit to meet the specs, but that's on the positive side, obviously, not the negative.
Okay, we'll watch to see if that's maintained. Thanks very much.
And at this time, there appears to be no further questions from the phones.
Nothing further, David?
No, there are no further questions from the phones at this time.
All right, well, we might end the call here. Thank you very much, everybody, for taking the time to listen in, and obviously you know where to find us. So if there are any further questions, I know we're seeing a number of you during the course of today and the next few days with investor meetings. But thank you very much. But if you've got any follow-up questions, please just give us a call. Thank you.